This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 5 through 17. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you that this, so my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This ends the reading of God's holy word.
Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your commands to remain in you and to love you and to love one another. And I pray that this time of teaching will just continue to strengthen our bonds to you and to one another. In Christ we pray. Amen. As we study, look at John chapter 15 this morning. I encourage you to look at the sermon note, the outline in the bulletin. It's on page 5. Kind of gives you the setting of what is leading up to John chapter 15. Chapters 13 through 17 are known as the farewell discourses of Jesus, and because his imminent departure is at hand. And we go from the Last Supper to the time when Jesus is walking to Gethsemane with his disciples. And then in chapter 17, we have the prayer of intercession that Jesus offers for himself, for all believers, and for everyone. And you can see that this is kind of a progression up to chapter 15 when Jesus is talking about relationship, remaining connected in Jesus Christ. Now, Michael and Tammy Mosier and their three daughters are here with us. Michael was the guest speaker at the Veterans Breakfast this morning. I made some notes, and the one thing that really captured my attention is obedience to orders. Instant willing obedience to orders. I don't have my pen to write that down. What's the difference between an order and a command? Means the same thing, doesn't it? In John chapter 15, what Avery just read for us is, I command you. Instant willing obedience to Jesus Christ. Instant willing means we don't have to think about it all the time. We just have to act in love. We don't have to think, we can act in love as we remain connected and strong. It's there for us. It's there for us. The imagery of the vine that Jesus is using in John 15 comes from the Old Testament through into the New Testament. In Psalm chapter 80, verse 8 through 16, it speaks of the vine the Lord brought up out of Egypt. The vine the Lord brought up out of Egypt. The nation of Israel was meant to be the vine that God called out of Egypt. Jeremiah 2:21 references how God planted Israel like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. There was something special about Israel because God favored them. God planted them. In Ezekiel 15, verses 1 through 8, it describes Jerusalem as a withered and useless vine. So coming up out of Egypt, they're this vibrant stock, but through Israelites' disobedience, through their breaking of the command, lack of willingness, In Ezekiel, the prophecy is about Jerusalem being a useless vine. To Ezekiel 19, verses 10 through 14, offers imagery describing the healthy vine that was planted in contrast to the vine that had been uprooted and withered. And then in the New Testament, in the Synoptic Gospels, and I'm going to call on our confirmands because we're going over Synoptic Gospels, and one of our confirmands got a treat because they knew right away what Synoptic means. If I was really good, I would have a bag of treats up here for everybody that knows. Synoptic means same, similar. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have much of the same information, and in the parable of the tenants, the background setting is a vineyard, and all three of those similar gospels have this parable of the tenants. In that parable, Jesus compares the ownership and the renting and the time of harvest to the earthly care of the kingdom of God. Through the parable of the tenants, Jesus was pointing out to the chief priests and the Pharisees the coming judgment that they were going to go under for the mismanagement of God's earthly kingdom. The disciples, based on their knowledge of the Old Testament, based on their being able to recall and remember the parable of the tenants that Jesus offered to them and to others, the disciples, as they walked to Gethsemane, the disciples, as Jesus talked to them in chapter 15 about this vine, they would have had all of this imagery in mind, and it would have sparked their interest, and they would have been hanging on his words. The first five verses of chapter 15 say, "I am the true vine. Jesus is the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." God, our Heavenly Father, is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. In those first five verses of John 15, Jesus lays out a goal that Christians must strive to meet. A goal for us: remain in me. Jesus says that. Instant willing obedience to orders, to commands, to remain. Remaining in a relationship with Jesus, that is primary in our lives. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the genuine Son of God our Father. And in this passage, God is described as the gardener. The Greek word translated as gardener in the NIV is the general sense of being a farmer. But here in the context of this parable, it goes even deeper because the gardener is an expert. The gardener has learned how to take care of the vineyard. The vineyard, the gardener knows what to trim and what to leave. He's an expert in growing grapes. And so who better to manage our relationship with Christ than God himself, God our Heavenly Father? So the goal is to remain in Christ. The branch, it has to remain connected to the vine to remain healthy. It doesn't look very healthy. In order to bear fruit, in order to bear apples or to bear grapes, the branch has to remain connected to the vine. A branch that is cut off from the vine will soon wither. It didn't take very long, as there is no source of life to sustain the branch. Remain in me. Remain connected to me, Jesus says. Remain in me. Remain connected to me, Jesus says. I have another illustration besides the branch. Got a simple light bulb, light socket. Screw the light bulb in, and it shines brightly. Do you see it come on? What's missing? Oh, the source of power, you say. In my magical act of preaching this morning, I find some power. I turn it on. I plug it in. It's connected. And all of a sudden, we have light. Very good, whoever that was. Because now I can't see. If you use an LED bulb, it doesn't get as hot as the others. So we are the bulb. The electricity is Jesus Christ. We screw the bulb in, we have light. That light is the symbol of the fruit that the Holy Spirit does through his people. We unscrew the bulb, we take ourselves out of connection, no light. We put ourselves back in sync with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have light. We disconnect from the source, we have a problem. We remain connected, we produce light. So as not to blind you, I will hide this over here. Jesus Christ commands us to remain connected to him, and it all works hand in hand. We can do nothing by ourselves. Veterans Breakfast, Mike's also talked about the buddy system. See, I was listening, okay? The buddy system of remaining connected with Christ and with one another. Remain in me, remain connected to me, Jesus says. And if we remain connected, we will bear much fruit. If we move apart from Jesus, if we get disconnect ourselves from him, we'll bear no such fruit. So what does it look like to lead a life that is connected to Jesus, the true vine? While the New International Version of the Bible translates John 15:4, the word remain, the Revised Standard Version of the Bible uses the word for remain. In John 15:4, it says abide. Now, like commands and orders, abide and remain mean the same thing, but abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. To abide means to live. To abide means to continue. So to abide in Christ is to live in him and remain in him. When a person is saved, he or she is described as being in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In Christ, we are a new creation. The past, the sin of the past is gone, and we are in the love and the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, abiding in Christ, it is not a special level of Christian experience. Rather, to remain in Christ is the experience that we're all supposed to have together. It is the position of all true believers. The difference between those abiding in Christ and those not abiding in Christ is the difference between the saved and the unsaved. As you reread this parable, this lesson from John 15, there are branches that are cut off and thrown into the fire. The phrases abide in me or remain in me, when lived out in a believer's life, provides a picture of a very close relationship with Christ. And that is what Jesus Christ desires for each and every one of us. The chief priests, those Pharisees that Jesus was talking to, they were missing out on that relationship. They thought they had it. If you read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, they were the ones that prayed in public to use those fine words to impress those that were listening. They were the ones that would put makeup on their face so that they looked like they were fasting. They were focused on the physical, on the outside, what people could see and be impressed by. But Jesus knew their hearts. And so he had these very pointed lessons to the Pharisees because he knows it's part of our human existence. That we can put on that outward face and look good when our heart can be very dirty. And the way to have a clean heart is to remain connected in Jesus Christ. In John 15, Jesus provides the way that we can determine if we really are remaining connected to him. It's the litmus test of the faith. What does he say? I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. That light bulb, that light that was emitted, that's the fruit working through the Holy Spirit. If a Christian fails to remain connected to Christ, fails to maintain that vital connection to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus teaches us what's going to be the result in verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. That is an image of final judgment. And it leaves us, hopefully, with two questions. How do we know we are bearing fruit? How do we know we are bearing fruit? And if we discover we are not bearing fruit, how do we reconnect? The fruit that Jesus is talking about, it's not apples, it's not grapes, it's not physical things that we necessarily can see and do, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we are exuding those gifts, it means we are remaining connected. How well are you showing love to others? How well will Fulton County Christmas Cheer be able to bless people because people have followed the commands to love others and they're supporting that ministry? How well will the youth and the children at Crossroads Family Services be blessed this Christmas because we have shown love and others have shown love to them? Do you have joy in your heart? Or are you complaining every day about the weather? Are you at peace? Where's your level of patience? Do you get pretty upset if you have to wait a whole 2.5 minutes for the line at the checkout? Do you have to spend lots of time deciding to check out yourself or go through which is easier, which is quicker? How often do you lose your anger? Where's your level of self-control? If someone can get very angry at you in your face, if you are remaining connected with Christ, you're being able to hear that and take that and not respond in anger. Because responding in anger is not going to get you anywhere. Gentleness and self-control. That second question, we discover we are not bearing fruit. How do we reconnect? We recognize, we repent, we confess, we ask for Christ's forgiveness, and because that forgiveness comes through his grace, we are able to start afresh, and we can be replanted and reconnected to honor God as we obey his commands. If the life of Christ permeates a disciple, fruit will be inevitable. A well-cared-for vineyard produces a very hearty harvest of grapes. Fruit-bearing is the second goal. The first goal is to remain. The second is to bear fruit. In John 15, verse 7, Jesus talks about my words. What we know through the gospel accounts of the life and the witness, the teachings of Jesus Christ. It is a conscious acceptance of the authority of his word and a constant contact with him by prayer. Because Matthew 7:20, Jesus also says, "By their fruit you will recognize them." By our fruit, people will know us as believers, as people that are connected to the vine, and ultimately they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. To God's glory and to the peace of his people, amen.
Please rise as you're able and join us in our sermon hymn, Step by Step.
This time I invite the ushers to come forward to collect our morning's offering. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, you call us to bear fruit. Lord, may this just be a piece of what we give to you and to this world. May our whole lives be yours, everything we have. And now may these gifts be used for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing song is Christ is Enough. And following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus of Christ is Enough.
Bless you and keep you. Jesus says, I call you my friends. Go forth in peace, bearing fruit in the Holy Spirit. Amen.